When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. And she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately, her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And the disciples said to him, "You see the crowd is pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hands and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. Mark, the gospel writer, was a storyteller, going from village to village, synagogue to synagogue, family to family, sometimes with actors, telling about Jesus, Messiah, Son of God, risen Lord. Today's story is perfect for a stage play. If I were the writer and director of such a play, this is what it would look like. The main curtain is closed. There are dim spotlights, one on the left and another on the right. At stage left, the spotlight brightens. A mother is giving birth in the home of a well-to-do family. There's a midwife with warm water, olive oil, sea sponges, a pillow, and swaddling clothes for the baby. The midwife is praying and performing ancient rituals. She showers very strong aromatic perfumes, strong enough for the audience to smell. The scene depicts the intense pain and agony of childbirth. And there's also intense uncertainty in a day of very high infant mortality. A very anxious father named Jairus is hiding in the shadows. And soon we hear a baby's cry. And in modern English, the midwife shouts, "It's a girl!" And the audience applauds. And the spotlight dims. And the spotlight on the right side of the stage brightens. It's the same day as the birth of the child that we just witnessed. The woman in this scene has a simple home. She's obviously very poor. She's alone. No husband, no children. She had started bleeding profusely that very day that the baby was born. A doctor enters with spices, towels, bandages, and a prayer book. The bleeding won't stop. And the doctor explains to this woman, there's nothing that can be done. There's nothing that can be done to stop the bleeding. And he gives the woman supplies for the days and the weeks ahead. And he reads from the prayer book. He collects his fee, which is a hardship for this woman. As he leaves, the doctor turns around and says, "You know the drill. Because you're bleeding, you're no longer allowed in the synagogue. Touch no one. Consider yourself as a leper." The spotlight dims with the woman sobbing uncontrollably. And now the center curtain goes up. The play continues. Act one is the story of the little girl, how she grows up in the household of Jairus, a healthy young girl enjoying life for 12 years. And they were a family of faith. That's depicted in Act one, a family of faith. They prayed often. As Act One ends, the 12-year-old girl gets very sick to the point of death. As the curtain closes, you hear the family praying together, "Out of the depths we cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear our voice." And the curtain comes down. Act Two is the story of this poor, destitute woman. The bleeding never stops. Doctor after doctor continue to bring her supplies, telling her every time there's nothing that can be done, nothing. Nothing can stop your bleeding. And they remind her every time that she's to be treated like a leper. That's the religious law. And they collect what money they can, which is not much. The woman's family visits. They keep a distance from her, never touching her. That's the religious law, that you never touch a bleeding person. Otherwise, you would be made unclean. But they were a family of faith. And they prayed often. As Act Two ends, the woman's bleeding becomes worse, and we learn that she's totally out of money. And as the curtain closes, you hear her family praying and she's praying with them. Out of the depths we cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear our voice. Curtain closes. And now there's Act 3. As the curtain opens, Jesus is standing at center stage. And Jairus, the father of the young girl who had been born, comes in. And he tells Jesus about his 12-year-old daughter who is at the point of death. He begs Jesus for help. Please help me. I am in the depths. And Jesus is more than willing to go with this religious leader. Finally, a religious leader, a synagogue leader who believes in Jesus. That's the first. And all of a sudden, this large crowd comes on the stage, filling the stage. The stage is all filled up, pushing and shoving to get close to Jesus. And then a spotlight comes in and shines on a woman who's trying to get close to Jesus. She's not supposed to be there. Bleeding women and lepers were never to be in such a crowd, but she was there and the spotlight comes down upon her. And we hear what she's saying to herself. The microphone is really a good system. And she's saying to herself, if only I can touch his cloak, if only I can touch his cloak, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord, if only I can touch his cloak. And she does. She touches his cloak. And the bleeding stops for the first time in 12 years. And Jesus feels a huge surge of divine energy leave him. He stops with all these people around him, touching him. He asks who touched him, and the woman comes forward. She's afraid. And she said, I did. She wasn't supposed to be there. Her fear was real. She was trembling. And she tells Jesus her story and what had happened. And Jesus listens to her calmly and gently. He hears her story of 12 years. And somebody in the crowd shouts, hey, Jesus, what about the daughter of Jairus? Don't you care about the rich man's daughter? That's where you're headed. With a gentle voice, Jesus places his hands on the woman's head and he says, daughter, daughter, your faith has made you well. And someone in the crowd shouts out, she's not the daughter, Jesus. You got it wrong. You blew it. You cured a poor childless widow, a leper. And now we just heard that the daughter, the real daughter in this story, the daughter of the wealthy religious leader, has died. Jesus turns to the critics and he holds up his hand very gently, blessing the crowd. And they feel divine energy coming upon them. And one by one, they quietly leave the stage. So Jesus and the 12 apostles travel and arrive at the house of Jairus. Everyone is in grief at the death of the 12-year-old. And Jesus says, the child isn't dead. And they ridicule him. They know death when they see death. We know what death is. Jesus, she's dead. And Jesus holds up his hand, blessing them. And they feel divine energy. And one by one, each person quietly leaves the house. And then Jesus comes to the 12-year-old saying in his native language in Aramaic, Talitha cum, little girl, little daughter, get up. And the girl did just that. She rose up. And the family and the disciples rejoiced that she was alive. Rise up, Talitha kum. It's the same word that's used for resurrection, for the resurrection of Jesus. And all who were present, the apostles and the family, knew that this was life. They knew life when they saw life. And this is life. Friends in Christ, this is our faith. Jesus is our healer. Jesus gives life. We are a family of faith. And we believe in the divine healing energy of Jesus. And we believe that this energy is still with us today. We believe this energy is with us now. Every ailment won't be cured, but the divine healing energy of Jesus always flows to us and through us. Always. I can clearly remember a conversation I had with the church member 30 years ago. The member was struggling with stories like this in the Bible. What happened back then doesn't happen now. Now, it was a long conversation about biblical interpretation, but at the end, this is what I said. And yet, it does. The healing energy of Jesus still comes today. It still flows today. Through doctors and nurses, midwives and medicine, bandages, aromas, family, church family, and prayer. God's energy flows through bread and wine. Like those two families, we are a family of faith, and we pray often. We believe that Jesus is the healer of our every ill. There's a hymn with that title by Lutheran hymn writer Marty Haugen. He's my age. The hymn is a song of hope. Jesus in this hymn is called the light of each tomorrow. It's a song with words of peace, grace, and comfort. It's a song that has words of joy, love, and strength. It's a song that calls us family, sisters and brothers. It's a song about kindness and compassion. This past week, I learned the background of this hymn. In January of 1986, Marty Haugen and his family were at the Holden Village Retreat Center in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State. Since they were on retreat, they were often unaware of what was going on in the world. And word got to them a couple days after it happened that the space shuttle Challenger had crashed shortly after takeoff, with 7 astronauts dying. I told this story at last night's worship, and I heard from several members where they were when that space shuttle crashed. As soon as those on retreat heard of the accident, they planned a worship service for that very night. And Marty wrote the hymn, Healer of Our Every Ill, for that service. It's a hymn for every type of illness. It's a hymn for every type of suffering. It's a hymn for every type of grief. It's a song of hope and comfort and healing for our every ill, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual, every ill. It reminds us to do what Jairus did. It reminds us to do what that bleeding woman did. Go to Jesus, who is our healer. Let's finish the play. After Act 3, the curtain opens partially, and a spotlight shines on center stage. Jesus is hanging on the cross, and a young girl enters from the left, and the woman who had been healed enters from the right, and they stand in front of the cross together. For the first time, they meet each other. And the girl looks up to the woman and says, "My name is Talitha. He gave me life." And the woman turns to the girl and says, "My name is Talitha. He gave me life." And the curtain slowly closes with the audience in total silence. And all of a sudden, the spotlights shine brightly. Jesus comes out in brilliant garments, shining like the sun. Tons of spotlights shine upon the audience. The audience feels divine energy. Everything is bright and glorious. This is life. This is resurrection. And the risen Jesus comes to the center of the stage, and he speaks in a gentle, confident, holy voice, saying to everyone, "Daughters, sons, I am the healer of your every ill. I am the healer of your every ill. I am the healer of your every ill."
Grace us with your peace and gladness. Spirit of all comfort, fill our hearts. Healer of our every ill, light of each tomorrow, give us peace beyond our fear and hope beyond our sorrow. In the pain and joy, beholding how your grace is still unfolding, give us all your vision, God of love. Healer of our every ill, light of each tomorrow, give us peace beyond our fear and hope beyond our sorrow. Give us strength to love each other, every sister, every brother. Spirit of all kindness, be our God. Healer of our every ill, light of each our fear and hope beyond our sorrow. You know each thought and feeling. Teach us all your way of healing. Spirit of compassion, filling.